Are you ready? It's almost time. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Well, what's coming up soon is the spring holy days. And as children of God and part of His family and His plan, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread show us very important and essential truths to our lives and to God's overall plan. These annual feast days, they remind us of God's love for us and His plan of hope and salvation for all mankind. Now, the Passover is coming first. And it teaches us that Christ was sinless and was the Lamb of God. He came to this earth and was sacrificed so the sins of humanity could be forgiven and the death penalty that we all earn will be removed. Now, the Passover, it's not celebrated as a holy day by everybody, but is the first observance of the year. And this year, Passover, it's on April 3rd, which is actually observed the night before, so it'd be Thursday, April 2nd, at twilight. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it follows shortly after that. And it teaches us that we have all been called to reject sin, to reject lawlessness in our lives, and to repent from sin. And we are told to live by every word, every part of God's word, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 5, I'll just read it here, it says, "Get rid of the old yeast, so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So during Unleavened Bread, we have a festival for 7 days. You can read about that in Exodus 12 or 1 Corinthians 5. And we eat unleavened bread for those days. And we get leavening out of our homes. Leavening such as breads, yeasts, baking soda, anything that contains those, we try to remove that from our home, from our lives. And by eating that unleavened bread, it pictures our striving to live the way God wants us to, free of sin. And during those days, we meet twice. We meet on April 4th, the first day of the feast, and April 10th, the last day of the feast. And it's a great thing. We learn about God's plan for this world. And these days that are coming, they make up the first of 3 holy day seasons and the first of 7 holy days throughout the year. And those days that are commanded by God for us to keep show God's plan and His salvation for all mankind. What I like to do is I keep one of these cards around. You guys, everybody seen these cards? They're very handy. I keep one in my wallet. And it'll tell me all the days, the holy days for 5 years on this. Which I got 2 of these extras. If anybody needs one after services, they can ask me for it. But the Bible tells us that these spring holy days that are coming in about a month are a very holy time. And that they should not be taken lightly. The Apostle Paul warns us that we should not keep the Passover in an unworthy manner. And at services, we've been hearing speakers talk about preparing ourselves and getting ready for the holy days that are coming. So what exactly does that mean? What does that mean to us? What should we be doing to prepare ourselves? How do you prepare for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread that's coming in just over a month? Today I'm going to give you 3 points, just practical points, to prepare you for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now I want to make a note here that the Passover is for everyone. It's only baptized members attend the Passover, but we'll see that the meaning of Passover and what it means for everyone, the world, It applies to all of us, not just to baptized members. And this split sermon, it's not meant to equip you with every detail and give you all the answers. It's to help you with your preparation, with the process that you're in. Now, it's not a comprehensive checklist of things to do, but it will give you ideas and help you. And the reason for that is every person's different. We learn differently. We think differently. We all have different ways of looking at things. This morning, it reminds me of, there's this thing going around on the internet about this white and gold dress. Has anyone seen this? You guys have not seen this? Yes, right? And it's, if you haven't heard of it, it's the most important thing that's happened this week besides the llamas. But when you look at this picture, some people see a white and gold dress, and some people see a black and blue dress. It's the craziest thing. I mean, if you haven't seen it, get in a group sometime later and look at it. But see what you see. I say it's gold and white. But the point is that we see things differently, and we approach things differently. So some of these points will help you, and some of you might have already done. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't go back and review what we've learned and look at what we need to improve. So my first point is learn the meaning of God's holy days and His plan of salvation. Learn the meaning of the holy days. It sounds simple, but we've all have things that we can learn, that we can add to what we know. At whatever part of our conversion we're in that process, we all have more we can learn. In James 1, verse 5, I'll just read a short scripture here. It says, "If you need wisdom to know what you should do, you should ask God, and He will give it to you." So it says what we should do to start. We should pray and ask God to give us wisdom, to show us what we should learn, what we need to learn. And it doesn't matter if this is our first day ever at church, or if we've been here for many, many decades, we all have things that we can learn, and we should be asking God to guide us on that path. Ask God, what does He want you specifically to learn? And we should ask. We should also ask ourselves questions. Now, at school, there's this process that's called the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And it's a way to look at things and examine issues. We can do that with anything we're trying to look up. We can do that with Passover. Begin with a question and look for answers. Even if you know the answer, you can search scriptures to learn more. For example, who observed the Passover in the Bible? In the Old Testament? Who observed it in the New Testament? Who observes it today? Who observes the Feast of Unleavened Bread? What happens during these days? And when were they observed in the Bible? And should I keep these days? Or why should I keep these days? These are just a few of the types of questions we should ask ourselves to learn and to grow. So I'll give you an example. We could ask ourselves, what is Passover? What is Passover? And there's the Holy Day book. This has been shown many times. It's such a useful guide, and I would recommend that everyone has a copy of this if you don't. But you can use this as a guide to answer some of these questions. So from this booklet, you can look up Passover, and one of the scriptures is Leviticus 23, and let's turn over there. In Leviticus 23, verse 4, it says, These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month is the Lord's Festival of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord, and on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. So that starts with an Old Testament scripture of what is Passover, and it explains what was done and what was commanded in the Old Testament and the days of unleavened bread. We'll flip over to John 13, another scripture taken right out of this booklet, and we'll look at a New Testament example of Passover and what happened. And in John 13, we'll start in verse 12. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. It says, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. It says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. And then 17 says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So Jesus Christ is setting that example for us. And this is part of that process of continuing it from the Old Testament. And now here's a New Testament example directly from Jesus Christ telling us what we should be doing. I'll also read 1 Corinthians 11. You can turn over there. In 1 Corinthians 11, we'll start in verse 23. And this is again asking, what is Passover? It's something that we could all do on our own and expand on this, these scriptures that were given to us. So in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So that gives us another piece. We're supposed to do this until Jesus Christ returns. And this also outlines exactly what we do at a Passover service. If you've never been to one or seen one, we do these exact things. We have to break the unleavened bread, drink a little bit of wine, and wash each other's feet. That's really the main parts of a Passover service. But continuing on, it says in verse 27, it says, so then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. So we're given a warning there of something to do. We have to examine ourselves. And we don't want to be found guilty of this. We all want to look at ourselves and see where we've been and how we're progressing. The point is with this first topic here is that we can look into this and continue to dig, use the Holy Day book as a guide to help us in our journey to find what we need to do to look into ourselves before the Passover comes. Another good resource is the UCG website. I would recommend that everyone goes to that, maybe even have it as your homepage. It's an excellent resource. If you go to the topics tab, you can see the holy days listed there, and you can find out detailed information on all the holy days. It's very useful. You can also get live Bible studies, sermons, multiple articles. Vertical Thought has very good articles in it, and I would suggest looking at those in preparation for Passover. So what about unbaptized people? What about young people who haven't been baptized? Does it matter to you? Yeah. No. Maybe. Well, there's an article you can go look at to find out. There's an article specifically that called Personalizing Passover. What about unbaptized people? Is it irrelevant for these people? Well, it's not. To fully understand God's plan for all humankind, we must understand all the festivals and how they work together. Even though you might not actively observe that festival at this time, it means something for you because it's part of God's plan. God's plan is for all mankind, but not everyone goes through that whole process. It depends on where they come in the process. And that Passover is for a certain group of people that everyone here is invited to be part of. I'd also like to recommend looking at the UCG youth lessons. They come out every month. They're on the link with the announcements. It's a very good way to keep current with what our kids are doing and what the youth is doing in the church, in our congregation. And you can also go on to the members site, members.ucg.org, under the Family Education tab, and see all of last year's lessons. And these are not just for the youth. They're very good resources for adults as well. It'd be a perfect way to outline your own personal study. And just from last year, one that's on there, the headline is, the title is, What is the Passover? And then it goes into some questions. What are some memorial services you can think of? The Passover is commanded by God. It gives scriptures. The Passover is a solemn occasion. What does that mean? These are all things that we can look at to have a better understanding of Passover and what it means to each of us. My second point is to focus on Jesus Christ's role in your salvation. When Jesus Christ did not die he died for all of humanity. But not that alone. He died for each one of us individually. He died for you. He died for me. And consider what that took for God, for Jesus Christ to suffer and die for you personally. But consider what that did in your life, what that opened up. The possibility of getting rid of that bondage of death, the death sentence that we were all under because of that sacrifice, which is pictured in this day coming up. There's a very good sermon called 7 Tips to Prepare for Passover by Bill Bradford. I would recommend anyone looking that up as part of their own study. But it's important to remember that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for everyone. The gift of life that he has given to us becomes even more powerful when we realize that it was for us individually. You know, and he knows what we went through. It says that he saw what we see. He felt the things that we feel. He had pain in his life, disappointments. And we can build a stronger relationship with him by having understanding of that and learning of what Jesus Christ went through and what's represented by this day that's coming. And once again, Passover is at the center of all the festivals, the beginning of all the festivals, and Christ is at the center of it. And that transcends through all the holy days throughout the year. But Jesus Christ and his plan for us are what the holy day is about. And it starts with Passover, and it's meaningful for all of us. And we need to focus on that. Focus on what Jesus Christ has done for us. I'd like to turn over to Joshua 1. In Joshua 1, verse 7, it says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night." I want to focus on that word meditate. It's to think about these things. And God was telling this to the Israelites, you need to think about this constantly. And that's something that's given to us, especially at this time before Passover. It says, "Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." It goes on to say, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So we're supposed to think about these things as we go through life, especially coming up to Passover. And it's important not to read through the Bible in a rush or try to rush these things in at the last moment, you know, the day before Passover. Take time to think about what you are reading. You'll get much more out of it. Meditate, think about, and reflect deeply about the meaning of the scriptures that you read and how you apply it to your lives. And remember that Jesus Christ is at the center of that plan for us all. So meditate what has been done for you, what Christ has done for you at the beginning of every day, at the end of the day. Consider the moment in the day when Jesus, what he has done for you, the decisions that he made to help you along the way. My third point is determine the state of you. Determine the state of you. Reflect on where you've been. Where have you been in life? Where are you now? And how do you need to move forward? There's a speech every year given by the president, the State of the Union. And did anybody see it this year? President Obama? A few? Well, in that speech, the president, he gives an outline. He gives an outline of what has happened over the last year. He also talks about the economy, about wars, crime rates, what the plans are for the future, what his hopes are for the future. And this is actually commanded of the president. It's in the Constitution, Article 2, Section 3, that the president gives a State of the Union. Have you ever stopped to think that God asks us each to give a state of you each year? We're supposed to evaluate ourselves. And there's actually a letter based just on this topic by Mr. Holliday that was sent out April 4th, 2014. You can look that up. In 1 Corinthians 11, I'll just read this. I already read it earlier, but I'll read it again. But Paul explains that the body of Christ was broken for us, and his blood was shed for us. And we are told to remember this on Passover and coming up to it. Do we remember that? Do we think about it? So we should do a state of you evaluation, each one of us, to see where have you been, what needs to be done in your life, and where are we going forward. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, once again it says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. When we examine ourselves, we come to know ourselves. We look at the strengths that we have, the weaknesses, and we need to do an honest look at that, really. When the president gave his State of the Union address this year, he had a lot of great ideas about paying off everybody's school loans and everybody would go to college for free. And before he even started, people knew that it was far-fetched. It wasn't going to happen. That's not what we want to do. We want to take a true look at ourselves and see where we've been and where we're going and how to get there. What is our spiritual state? And it's not a bad thing. We shouldn't look at this always in a, oh, I'm a terrible person, or I've got so much to do. Look at where you've come from. We've all come a long ways. We've made progress, and that's a good thing. It's something we should look at and be happy about, because God looks at it and he knows and he is proud of us for coming to the point we are. But we all have more to do. And God wants us to succeed. I mean, he gave his son so that we would succeed. He wants us to be there, to be part of his family. And besides, beyond that, he sent his Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us in our lives. So God wants us there. He wants us to be part of his family. So track your behaviors and thoughts. See where you are. Now do a state of you evaluation. Monitor the strengths of your life, of your spiritual life, and the weaknesses. What do you need to do? A good place to kind of look at your state is in Galatians 5. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the lust of the flesh. And where do you fall in that range? Are you heading towards some of those lusts of the flesh? Or are you walking in the Spirit? And that's in Galatians 5, verse 16. But we should look at ourselves and we should ask some questions. How much do we pray? Or what is the best part of the day for prayer for each one of us? It's going to be different. What about Bible study? How do we do that? Meditation? When you fast, do you ask God for direction? Maybe we should ask, when is the last time we fasted? We were commanded to fast on atonement. Atonement was a long ways away. It was months ago. Have we fasted since then? It's just things that we need to ask ourselves each individually. And life is busy. It's very busy. What do we need to do with our schedule to make these things happen in our lives, to improve ourselves? And maybe we need to each write it down individually. Use a planner. You know, plan how you're going to devote time and effort to God and his way to truly examine ourselves before Passover. I'm going to read Ephesians 5 and verse 15. It speaks to this. Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And that's what we're all trying to do on this process. And that's what we're looking forward to before Passover and the days of unleavened bread. So in conclusion, it's make the time count. We have just over a month before Passover. And life can be busy. Times are stressful. We all have challenges in our lives. But God gives us these days as a blessing. They're a real blessing to us. They show God's plan. They give us hope for the future and give us a path, a way to grow in our lives. So ask yourself, how can I make this time leading up to Passover and unleavened bread count? How can it count for me in my life? The spring holy days are a very holy time, and they should not be taken lightly. And we are warned not to keep Passover in an unworthy manner. We talked about that. Once again, 34 days till Passover. What will you do each day to make that count? During the next month, learn about the meaning of God's holy days and His plan of salvation, His plan for you. Focus on Jesus Christ's role in your salvation and truly examine the state of you. Then we'll all be prepared and have a great Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread.